opportunity and welcome all of us to this very important meeting that speaks to economic development. Today we are having some few items, and I wouldn't want to keep members too long for this meeting, given the fact that this afternoon we do have a debate, and some members must prepare for that kind of debate this afternoon. That's the unfortunate part. We're always working under pressure. But nevertheless, we thought that at least by 12:30, we would be out, so that the members can go and do other things. And they are also request that the departments that are here, I will not keep us very long. They must speak as a bureaucrat, at some time, straight to the point, not the history. On my right hand side, people who are capable in giving that preface of history and so on. And I know at some point the unnecessary inputs that are supposed to be made by the department giving such background so that we understand. From an education point of view, always start from the known to the unknown. I'll give you around about 10-15 minutes input, and then thereafter I'll allow members to seek clarity questions, and then we move on to the next item. I hope all everybody has got an agenda in front of him or her. There are three items, and with your permission, I would like to rearrange the agenda so that it suits our time and movement. Item number three, we are not going to deal with it today. Is it item number three? I know the first item relates to the Department of Commerce, but can we make an assessment that we start with item two? Then it will be followed by item three. And item one will be item three. The reason being that the Department of Transport are still included in a meeting of the portfolio committee in the NA. After that, they will come over and to execute their responsibility in the SOC. So they requested that with my indulgence to rearrange that agenda so that they can be present. And I hope that we will take that in a good spirit. They are coming. Once they are finished there, they will come over to us. Here I can see we are having the Department of Labor. Department of Labor, we normally speak of gender equality. And it's the women one, the farm. It's one of my daughters.
So, are you pregnant?
I'm not pregnant, but I'm raising a matter of principle. You fought for gender equality. Now, where I'm raising it, it should not be a problem. Fortunately, this department is decided with that. It resides with them because they are the custodians of this equality, one way or another. But maybe they will give a good account for that. Why the only two gentlemen? The common denominator of them, they are both black, very black indeed. All right, let me give over to them to introduce themselves, and then thereafter we will allow them to make a presentation based on the document that they've given us on the ratification. Should we give them to so that they make a presentation today so that we ratify those issues that need to be ratified by us. Without saying much, ladies and gentlemen, over to you. I'm not sure who's the leader of the delegation between yourselves. but I have a specs. You see, a gentleman always wearing spectacles. He's always dressed up and doing that. I'm not wearing spectacles. You know, when I was in Morocco, they said they always wear dark glasses when they get into a meeting. And I asked them, why all almost wearing dark glasses? They said, no, dark glasses, they always give you an edge much brighter. They stress your intelligence capacities than your normal one. And I said, it's interesting. But nevertheless, these are glasses. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Simon Rodova, Director General, Acting Department of Labor. And with me, I have Mr. Mkhalidi, who is in the Labor Relations Division. If it was not due to cost-cutting measures implemented by Treasury, Honorable Chairperson, we would have brought as many members as we could. However, we're trying to be disciplined and live within the confines of what we have. Honorable Chairperson, there are two things that I want to just indicate before I hand over to Mr. Mkhalidi to make a presentation. Firstly, is that as part of our mission and the reason for existence as the Department of Labor, we regulate South Africa's labor market for sustainable economic growth, and we do that through a number of instruments. And one of them has to do with social and income protection and the enforcement of compliance, that is compliance to monetary and enforcement to labor standards. Secondly, I also want to indicate that we derive our mandate from the constitutional provisions. There are about 8, but for the purposes of this discussion, I just want to single out Section 27 of the Constitution that talks to providing adequate social security nets to protect vulnerable workers. It is within this context, Honorable Chairperson and members, that we are presenting to you the instrument adopted by the ILO, the recommending, that is the recommendation concerning national floors of social protection. This is an unbinding convention which is normally presented to all governments, parliaments, and what is expected normally from us as a country is to provide a report to the ILO that indicates that we did present the instrument to our parliament for noting purposes, and based on that, that should be sufficient. I must indicate to honorable members that already in the country we do have the Unemployment Insurance Act, the COIDA Act, that is the compensation for occupational injuries and disease act, and the two legislation linked to, coupled with the basic conditions of employment, to a certain extent makes South Africa to be in compliance and in raising the spirit of the convention as such. And the second one is basically the instrument that we have presented to the Labour Portfolio Committee as well, and we are coming to the Select Committee to solicit your support to ratify this convention. Because with it, we believe that we'll be able to change the constitution of the ILO to ensure that Africa as a continent, and South Africa in particular, occupies its position within the ILO governing body. That is the reason why we are here on the project.
Thank you. That background gives us an indication of the intention of this piece of document. Otherwise, thank you very much. Let me teach you. Can I ask about the member, Mr. Mkhalidi? Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. The issue of women that the DG are dealing with here is that we respect women very much. In such extent, in this month, we thought that we should not bring women for the sake of bringing them. We must bring them for them to add their room in the discussion. Unfortunately, in this one, there was no reason for that. When they come in here, they've got to add their room on the processes. And that's our approach to these issues. And that's one also the reason why you see us here. The same applies to me. If I go to a meeting, I should go to a meeting because I'm going to add them, not because I'm a man. And that's the approach that we think would be to all of us. This is a recommendation. A recommendation
before we start.
I can read the body language of Dr. Hart. He wants to say something. Let alone the queen next to him. Doc, do you want to say something? Doc? I recognize you, not unless otherwise.
Thank you, Chair. I can tell you that. Assalamu alaikum. I'm not convinced, you know. I think the argument that is being presented is not going to go down very well with our lady colleagues that are here. So in their defense, I'm going to speak out and say that, you know, it is implying that we are, you know, placing our ladies in positions just as face screen, and I don't think so. I think history has proven past that, you know, because ladies have not been given an opportunity, this is why, and what happened, really the truth about the whole matter is, and it is very similar to what has happened in South Africa over the years. If we are going to take away 50% of our population, or a little more than 50%, and not allow them to participate, you know, completely in our social structures, we are actually dividing ourselves. And we know, we see this happen in South Africa in the history of this country, and I don't want to go begging that house. The truth is we deprived millions of people in this country. And isn't it from our side, from the EFF, we are saying that still people in this country are being deprived in a very big way by not being given proper opportunities. And I think that when our people are given those opportunities, this is actually for the benefit of all of us and for the benefit of the country as a whole. Cheers. Thank you.
I hope that the old dog has represented all of us, not women, all of us, in terms of what I could see, who was itching. But I'll give also Mama. Ma'am?
Yes, I agree with you. He has said that all of us, but not that he's from the EFF. Only the other part is correct, but the EFF is all of us.
You see, I was very careful in selecting to say all of us, because you are a select committee. Thank you very much for that. You must know, to call it, your positions. So whatever you say, the allies will follow you, and we take you head on, on what you are raising. You see, the reason also I allowed, because I know you are a school leaver expert. You've been coming a long way. You come a long way with Mr. Kalifi, from the early 80s and so on. Now he's got gray hair, so you must accept, with your respect, the ladies and gentlemen, without saying much. Let's allow him to make his presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As I was saying, that this recommendation, a recommendation is non-binding, and as my colleague has indicated, that the expectation is that Parliament should note this recommendation. This is a new recommendation dealing with national clause of social protection. It provides guidance to member states in building a comprehensive social security system and extending social security coverage to prioritize the establishment of national flow of social protection accessible to all in need. The new recommendation complements the existing conventions and recommendations. In particular, it assists member states in covering the unprotected, the poor, and the most vulnerable, including workers in the informal and communist economy and their families. It thereby aims at ensuring that all members of society enjoy at least a basic level of social security through their lives. It reaffirms that social security is a human right and a social and economic necessity. The recommendation provides guidance to countries in establishing and maintaining national social protection laws as a fundamental element of national security system. and in implementing their flow within strategic for the essential social security, that progressively ensures higher level social security to as many people as possible, guided by international organization social security standards. The guidance provided by the recommendation represents a major step towards ensuring universal access to basic income security, food security, adequate nutrition, healthcare, and other essential services such as education, housing, water, and sanitation, and other services are nationally defined. It contributes to the Global Social Protection Flow Initiative, which is supported by a large coalition of international organizations and development partners. National social protection flows as fundamental elements of national social security system constitute an essential element of national and international policy aimed at building more inclusive society and economies. In our continent, South Africa, the South African social security system is reasonably comprehensive by middle-income country standards. The system is partly comprised of an extensive social assistance program, which is managed by the Department of Social Services, and the number of social insurance programs, and it's underpinned by and enhanced by the Constitution, constitutional rights, social security. Unemployment insurance is part of it, as the DG has indicated, compensation is part of it, and other social security measures that other departments are taking, putting in place. The recommendations were endorsed by the African Renaissance Committee and International Cooperation Trade and Security. It was also endorsed by Cabinet. The Department of Labor therefore requests that the committee, given that the recommendation serves as a non-binding guideline, the Department of Labor submit the recommendation for me. Submit this recommendation for motion by the Select Committee. And fellow member states are required to submit international labor standards adopted by the International Labor Conference or to its parliament. The aim of this obligation is to ensure that competent authorities examine the instrument with a view to their enactment or other action. Thank you. They can take immediately the other one so that they can do it in both the convention.
Can I just check, do members have any hard physical questions on the first resolution so that we dispose of it? Please, you are granted.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 6, you refer to a middle-income country standard. Can you give us clarity on what a middle-income country standard would mean and where on the scale are we?
The countries that we're talking about would be countries like China, would be countries like Malaysia, India. In Africa, there are very few countries that meet, and then when we look at our social security benefits, all the elements, they come favorable with those countries and with the recommendations.
No further questions for the disposal of the questioners? Seems to be a straightforward question in line with the International Labour Organization. If not, ladies and gentlemen, shall we take the second document? Because at the end, we have to adopt the reports presented to us. Thank you. How about you, Mr. Mkalipin?
Thank you, Chair. The next report is the instrument of amending the Constitution of the International Labour Organization. The International Labour Organization has a constitution, and this constitution indicates the representativity of countries into the International Labour Organization. In 1986, the International Labour Conference discussed and adopted the instrument to amend of amendments proposing changes to the Act to affect the level of the 40 articles within the Constitution of the International Labour Organization. The main objective of the proposed amendment is to make membership of the governing board of the International Labour Organization more representative by providing a means of appointment that takes into account various geographic, economic and social interests of constituent groups. Now, for members presently in the ILO, just like in the United Nations, you in the United Nations you got permanent member. That is called veto rights in the Security Council. In the ILO you got what they call countries of international importance. It will be almost the countries in Europe, it will be America, it will be Japan, China. Those countries have got permanent seats. All other countries sit on the governing body of the ILO by rotation. Now this instrument, this constitution, is trying to change that. And this constitution is saying that there got to be countries in Africa that are on the permanent members of the governing body. And that's the intention of this instrument. For it to be applicable, it needs to be passed by different countries' parliaments for it to take effect. And even to take effect, you need a specific number, as members will see. Of these 56, with this amendment, as I've said, with this amendment, members of the governing body will increase to 212. And the men of the allocation will be affected. Of these 56 seats allocated to government representatives, 28 each will be allocated to employer and worker representatives. There will no longer be seats guaranteed for member states of chief industrial importance. That issue that I raised, that there are countries that are called chief industrial importance, therefore they are guaranteed seats, they've got permanent seats in the government body. Now this instrument is trying to deal away with that. The composition of the government body, of the government body of the office, the principal reasons for proposing the amendment were to give the government body a more representative membership by providing a means of appointing of the members that took into account a more contemporary manner, the procedure of appointment of the Director General. The Director General of the ILO would continue to be appointed by the governing body, but the appointment would be submitted to the International Labour Conference for approval. Voting. The constitution provisions relating to International Labour Convention and recommendation would require 3/4 of the votes cast and would have to be ratified by 3/4 of the members for it to come into effect. Therefore, for this to come into effect, you need 3/4 of the voting cast and would be ratified by 3 of the members of it to come into effect. Therefore, you need 3 of the 5 countries of industrial importance for this to come into effect. The same issue as the United Nations. If you want to change the rules in the United Nations, you need members of the Security Council to approve that. They can veto it. The same applies here. For this to come through, you need 3. And presently, I think we've got only 2. That is supported here. Any amendment to the Constitution requires 2/3 of votes cast, and the ratification of 2/3 of the members would be required to take effect. Therefore, we need 2/3, and on top of that, we need another 3 by the members that they got permanent seats. The composition of the governing body has been of significant interest to the African group. The group has been actively engaged in deliberation within the International Labour Organization governance structure on ways to address the issue of geographical imbalance in regional representation in the governing body. The African group was clear and anonymous in its view that Africa has been historically discriminated against in terms of composition of the governing body. The group also agreed that the 1986 amendment represents the ultimate goal for equal non-discriminatory representation of all regions within the governing body. The African Relations Committee on 28 May 23 adopted this instrument. The International Cooperation Trade Security ICS passed on 23 July 2013, and the National Economic Development Network also adopted this instrument and cabinet in South Africa. At the 3rd February 2014, ratification standard 102 member states. We've got 102 member states that have ratified, including 2 of chief industrial importance, India and Italy. In this regard, entry into force of this amendment require a special 22 ratification. We've got 102 now. We need 22 more countries to ratify it for it to be enforced. If South Africa ratify it, therefore we need 21 more for it to be enforced. including, as I've said, at least three more from the state of chiefs that's really important, three more. We've got two now, and we need three for it to be in effect. Now, I'm sure members of the question is maybe, would these countries vote for it because it reduces their power? These members vote for it if there are no changes in the Security Council? Because the same issue taking place in the Security Council members would remember that South Africa and Africa in fact is lobbying that in the Security Council we should have four countries in Africa representing Africa, and the five between South Africa, Nigeria, and Egypt, the three superpowers. But for it to take place, it has to be agreed by the Security Council. If the Security Council does not change the UN, remember the International Labour Organization is a UN institution also. America and the other countries, without agreeing on those changes, the chances are very slim. But symbolically for us as a country and as Africa, Africa in our caucus took a decision that all African countries should try to ratify this, to give a message that says we are prepared to take this on and we're showing our bona fide by ratifying the convention to show that the representation in the government body is not fair to Africa. That's what is it. There's no indication that even if we ratify it now, we are going to be able to win it because the battle is still very long. As I've said, we need 22 more countries, ordinary countries, and we still need 3 more countries of industrial importance. And we could get the 22 and get the 2 there. If we don't get 3, it's not going to come into play. But those are the politics of international relations. The 44 countries, as I've said, 44 countries have ratified this instrument in Africa. In Africa, 44 have already ratified. Internationally, 102 have ratified. We would be the 45th in Africa and the 103 in the world. We are asking the committee to propose the ratification of this convention to give a message that South Africa, with other African countries, is prepared to put its name in calling for change in the representation of the governing body of the International Labour Organization to ensure that fairness in terms of representation is entrenched in the Constitution. And that's the intention of this convention. Thank you.
We can stick with this all the way to ratification. And unfortunately, South Africa in 1986 was not part of that. And now we are brought in line to be part of the world at large through these agreements and so on. Any clarity questions, ladies and gentlemen?
Thanks. This is a very important matter. I would like to know, Chairperson, besides India and Italy in the countries of industrial importance, which other countries fall into that category? And I was also making the calculations here in the 112. You are saying there is 56 seats to be allocated to government and representatives and 28 to be allocated to employers and workers, and there is the remaining 28. Okay, each. Okay. Employees and 28. Oh, sure, I'm better.
I've added
value. Okay. My first question to that.
English is not our first language, so it's okay. Thank you very much. Any other clarity question before we move off this? I can see you want to ask something. You say something. Say it.
Yes.
Are you clear? Fun?
Okay.
I just wanted to hear that voice.
If I don't ask, you want to. Monsieur
Goma, the former president says, even if you don't speak in a meeting, you're still a man. It does not mean that when you don't speak, your manhood is wrong. You're still a man. So very common, so, it's fine. Thank you. The one question,
to be responded?
The countries often referred to as it would be Germany, England, Russia, Germany, France, US, UK, Japan, China, Italy and India. Yeah. And Italy and India as well. We need three more of those to agree. And the chances that I'm being friends, now the chances of the US and Germany, UK are very, because the problem is that when you discuss this ILO, it got implication on the UN as a whole. And with the call for reform the Security Council, they would want to create precedent. Yeah. That will be used in the UN as a pressure point there. For me, I don't see them conceding to this unless there's a change in the UN. If there's a change in the UN, it will make it easy this time, but I don't see it working the other way. But I hope I'm wrong.
I said, now I'm calling you, you're in politics. The body politics. They're looking beyond what we are ratifying there. Anyway, but also good, because it advises the state as also when you argue on these matters. Anything, DJ?
Maybe to also indicate that it's not all doom and gloom, in the sense that since 1986, the ILO, as part of or in trying to be seen to be progressive and also getting the pressure from all angles, in practice, there is movement, although not yet change in terms of the constitution. Because if you see in terms of Africa's representation now, at least within SADC, we are having that rotation process, and the membership, although the constitution has not formally changed, has also increased to that the governing body of the ILO is no longer confined only to this organization. So there is movement, however, the ratification of the instrument would definitely put that seal that we need to the whole process and formalize it in terms of the formal constitution of the ILO.
With that, I think we are satisfied. I'll recognize another official, Mia Kembe, who's in the Department of Labor. I acknowledge you. Your apologies did come very fast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your arrival and so on. But remember, you arrive, then we conclude the full documents. And I think we do agree with the recommendations of Professor Steph. For South Africa, we should always be on par when it comes to international politics, especially when it comes to labor matters. We are looking at that jealously because our background comes from that. We should not compromise, or we must not compromise South Africa, especially the workers when it comes to these matters. Thank you very much. Now, ladies and gentlemen.
In terms of politics, may I ask this? Thank you, Chairman. You refer to the country by name, and it almost looks as though it's a G8 situation. So which of those countries are the most likely to be lobbied to also sign the agreement? And my second question is, why did it take so long from May 2013 to now, and it got stuck with Nick Lag in the cabinet? Why?
Just before you respond, I can see my friend there is also, he took off his glasses and I thought, there comes the trouble. You are recognized, sir, so that you respond on both questions.
Probably, partly I would also cover what Honorable Van Lingen was raising. That history has taught us that Tatum Khalid, the real battle is not in the ILO plenary. The real battle is won on the side caucuses with the like-minded in persuading each other to agree to. Is there any other, I think even in our own case as AU, it has shown that we needed a greater time of persuasion to other parties to agree to what we thought should be done moving forward. And if that needs to be done, taking into consideration the powerhouses of this world, but also what creates a certain feeling to me is that this what you are presenting to us now falls right into the cracks of what we want to do as a country moving forward. And at least it will give us some sort of a caution moving forward. But are there any other situation mechanisms outside the parameters of the plenary sessions of the ILO to persuade particularly forces that we know that they are dominant in the institutions, but they also go calling for, even if it's minimal restructuring of the institutions, but at least they are like-minded and we can be able to build into whatever they are presenting to us moving forward. Thank you, sir.
I thought initially you were giving a response to the very last question that you are raising, because you said outside the planners, most work is being done outside that. So that when you come into plenary, you have already reached the sufficient consensus. So it's rectifying what that is. But you take a step further to question the same question, seems to pose the same question that you are raising, sir. But maybe from the acting DG and Mr. Khalid and Mr. Nekembe, I know you are able to respond on the two questions that you have raised.
Thanks. I think there are also other avenues that we continue to use. For instance, the G8 that we know has now been extended and significantly transformed into G20. Although South Africa is the only country in Africa currently participating in the G20 process, and there is a task team that is looking at matters of employment and economic growth, which is quite significant, and it draws ministries of labor and employment and also ministers of finance from the G20 member states. Now, we believe that is one forum that is currently very strategic to the country, and in terms of persuasion, we are beginning to see all countries that are part of the G20, although initially established to respond to the economic meltdown. We believe that in the long run, some of them in the side meeting that we have will be persuaded. Secondly, we do have BRICS, which has Brazil, Russia, India and China have already signed. But through the BRICS interaction and discussion, we believe that apart from the economic issues, it matters of strategic importance that affect all our countries in that forum. Is also something or another vehicle that we can use. The third one, I think, relates to our social partners. Unlike government, our labor and business, because of the contributions that they make also to the governing body of the ILO, they refuse to back down their permanencies in the governing body. And they unfortunately adopted the standpoint of the industrial the countries of industrial importance, in that they self-planningly, whilst as government we had to also abide by the views of SADC and broadly that of Africa as a continent, in that as a continent there was an agreement that given the isolation that Africa suffered, we also need to adopt a position or a standpoint that will allow rotation in terms of participation in the governing body of the ILO. And that, for instance, gives other countries, Lesotho is the next in the line to take over the seat in the governing body and so on. Other countries previously that were not able to take their seat, requested South Africa to participate. So in that avenue as well, labor and business in South Africa is also exerting pressure, because they believe that the government of South Africa can play a much more better role in the governing body of the ILO.
Yes, members, the irony of what the DG is saying is that business, BUSA, and basically labor in South Africa, COSATU, are permanent members of the governing body. Other business institutions in SADC, in Africa, they are not permanent members. But that's the decision that has been taken in the business caucus, in the labor caucus, international. But in governments, there's no government in Africa that is a permanent member of the government body, it only goes by rotation. Now, on the question of the delay, there's been a lot of debate on this issue. The delay is caused by precisely the uncertainty on the issue. There's been a view that says, if you go out and ratify this, what difference is it going to make? Because the kinds of industrial importance are not going to change. And the chances of us getting two-thirds are very slim in terms of this. And that's what the delay is. And then it's in debate in Africa, and then the debate came back to us, and the decision then was taken that symbolically it makes sense for all African countries to ratify it, and that's why we're pushing it now. But initially, that's been the same debate that we're having, even within a government or whatever else, that says that there is still any purpose to ratify this, because the challenge of it making it enforceable, looking at what we need to have to make it enforceable and now. And that's the delay that caused us to delay in ratifying it, because initially we thought it's not going to serve any purpose. We need to make sure that when we ratify it, we are likely to succeed. And now the ratification that we're doing now is more symbolic, because we still have got a lot to go on, and that's the reason for the delay.
Thank you very much. Mr. Nyegele, do you want to say something? I know that you've got passion, all of you have got passion about this matter of labor issues.
Thank you, sir. Not necessarily different or have a wage in what my colleagues have indicated. But then the other avenue that country can use, except the structures that they've mentioned, bilaterals, country to country bilaterals, is trade agreements that we do enter into as a country. Also those can be used in mobilizing support of this process of this convention. I just wanted to say that, sir. I think the fact that business and labor, they agree, I'm referring to business of South Africa and labor of South Africa, they agree on this. And they have influence internationally, especially in everything that is done at the level of the ILO. Most countries look at labor from South Africa and business from South Africa. So we do have that. It's hope that this will be realized. Thank you.
Can we hope that as you will have other strategies and tactics, you will pursue the matter outside this meeting to have those bilaterals to get more understanding of what you want to achieve at the time? Because the next 20 minutes are only dedicated to the next department. And with your indulgence, ladies and gentlemen, I think the Select Committee on Economic Development and Business Development, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the 1986 instrument for the amendment of the Constitution of the International Labour Organization, referred to it in terms of Section 231, Subsection 2 of the Constitution, recommends that the House approves the said convention. That's the first one. And on the second one, so we request that the report to be considered. The second one, the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development, having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the adoption of the automatic recommendation of the social protection floor by the International Labour Organization,
referred to it in terms of section 231, but section 2 of the petition recommends that the House approve the search to the third convention. So we are asking that we approve both of this convention that will read to us. Any opposed view? The comment, because we all agreed. It's a straightforward thing. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for this. And the Department of Labor, under the guidance of the acting DG, thank you very much for your cooperation and your specific explanation. If you do have other information, then I can assist members when they go to their constituencies. Please feel free to send us that kind of information through our IBS and so on. You become smart and pragmatic when you got information. So I'm saying if you do have other extra information, our IBS and what we call is available at your disposal. Give us information so that we finish off the job. Thank you, Arist. Thank you. Shall we go to the next presentation? The Department of Transport. Where is it?
They are in the one in the last building that he was meeting with transport for opening.
Can I just say, gentlemen, you are missed. Can you take just 2 minutes break and come back? Please, they are not here within the next 5 minutes because members are supposed to go and prepare for the sitting. And by 12:30, we need to be out here. So can you please phone them and tell them that you see, we are ready. The time is 12 o'clock. You can't wait for something that we want now. Thank you. Ma'am, I just want to do some in-house things, ma'am. In-house things so that if they don't arrive ultimately, we can leave in peace. I am time conscious. I've got an item here. I've got an item here that's to correspondence. Some time ago, we received an invitation from the Department of Transport, from the Minister's office, to attend what do you call it? It says, let me read, the official handover of the project and the launch of project implementation and management office for the Moloto Development Corridor project. You remember that the Moloto project has already been hitting headlines. So there is that launch. Colleagues, as you are aware, we have reached the final stages of the feasibility study on the Moloto Rail Corridor Development project, and the project will be handed over with the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa, that is TRASA, to manage it through the Project Implementation and Management Office that will be housed within TRASA. I write, colleague, to invite you to the official handover of the Moloto project to TRASA and the launch of the Project Implementation and Management Office. The details of the event are as follows. On the 28th August 2014, the time between 9 and 2 o'clock, the venue Prata House, 1040 Barnett Street, Hartfield, Pretoria. So this is the invitation that we received. On regards from Minister of Transport, this is Tipu Peters. Now this invitation was received last Friday, last week, by the way. And we forwarded it to the relevant offices for approval, because I understand we applied for that, so that the whole committee can go there. But a response that we received this morning was saying on the chairperson to go because there is a house sitting Thursday. They requested us just for a chairperson, otherwise it's not normal the norm to allow one person, but because of the hectic program of Parliament, of SCOP. So I am released for Thursday. Here is the invitation from the office of the minister. I just want to say, so that people don't say where is the chairperson at some point in time. We did interact this morning with the house chair on the matter, because we made the follow-up question. Where is the response that we made sometime last week? And responded. The second issue, the correspondence, has just arrived. When did it arrive? Today? This morning. It's another one. Invitation to the annual evaluation and plan workshop for the 28th to the 29th August 2014. A long letter. It comes from the Minister and the Deputy Minister of Labour. The annual evaluation workshop provides the Department of Labour, Labour's top management team, led by the Minister and Deputy Minister of Labour, an opportune moment to reflect on the government outcomes, the departmental strategy plan, and programs after the end of each financial year. During the working, the department's top management team and the executive authority evaluate achievements against targets set out in the strategy plan and the annual performance plan in the previous financial year. During leadership, challenges are assessed and possible solutions to those challenges are explored. All this is done within the context of planning for the future and forecasting priorities for short and medium term, and to consider budget requirements to achieve those objectives. It is against the above that I hereby invite the Select Committee on Labour to be part of this important engagement. The details as follows. The date for this workshop is the 28th and 29th August 2014, time from 9 o'clock until 5 o'clock for both days. Around how to improve your response in the affirmative will be highly appreciated. Kind regards, the Minister of Labour, Oliver. Thank you. Now, you see, the 28th and 29th is also this week. This thing arrives only this morning. We have not yet sent it to the relevant authorities to request a leave of absence. Now, how do you deal with it? Should you take the same routes? I'm so scared because if it comes today for a day after tomorrow, surely there should be something very serious wrong with that. I'm not sure. What's it of you? Any guidance for yourselves? Are you thinking of this select committee? It's not sent to Chatterley.
I don't want to spend this time.
I must be transparent to yourselves. I can see there's a one hand down there, the second one here, Ndomoshan. You are organized, sir.
No, Chair, I was hoping that we would follow the same process so that we standardize how we go now do these things moving forward. And I think that the way that you have dealt with the earlier one was quite good. Thank you.
I said, by the proposal from our honourable member at the bottom of the table, that means that for every workshop or every invite that we're now getting, we are only sending the chairperson, or what does standardized mean? Because there are times when we all go and we can make things coincide. So what we should do is say to the department, you cannot send that invitation, you knew about this a long time ago, because one doesn't organize a workshop overnight of this magnitude. And they treat us with disrespect, and it must stop, and it gives us sufficient time for us to do the whole process of applying, because it should go on to our program. And then we, you know, it's a long thing to get permission and to get the money released so that we can go. So you must tell the department.
Otherwise, she is not opposing the views. She is expressing concern.
Yeah.
I think we should also make that distinction.
Okay,
and I think we should also not be responding to everything. We should just take that the construction very simply for this moment. I think that's what we will do.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to add on that
my colleague has just said, and continue to say, if ever they agree, then even if it's late, maybe should indicate if they will be available, and then the grace should be able to know as to whom is going to consult.
Okay. Point well taken. Still on the phone?
No, sir, I agree with all members. I just want to reiterate the fact that I think it's irresponsible of the departments to make such a late notice. I think as a matter of process, it must be reiterated to them that at least 2 weeks on a project of this office might be good, that they should let the committee know. Thank you.
We suspect the process. If there is a positive outcome, we will inform members and see those that are available so that we can make the necessary arrangements. I said on the fourth
talk. Yeah, is that 1 week? This week, are we covered in they're not cashing this data, let me say. If they're cashing, chairperson, if you're not ready, maybe if you're going to the one, I'm not sure if we should appoint somebody in case that we need a second person to attend on your behalf or something like that, which I don't think we've covered.
We'll apply our minds to the contract so that everybody will
gentlemen, look at this. You know, I'm not a who was fond of trying to do things. Thank you,
gentlemen.
By tomorrow afternoon or so, including the delegation or if we do get permission. Now, I need your guidance, ladies and gentlemen. Look, the time now is 20 past. The department is not arrived. Or is there any news? Well, I understand that the absence today is not because they undermine this committee. They are holed up in one another committee. Can we send an SMS to request that to postpone this meeting due to clash of meetings, and we are looking forward to them to come next time to address us on the same topic, and we can add one or two things based on this agenda. Can you agree on that?
I agree, Chairperson, but this time they must also prioritize us. Yeah, because there are many those who can only divide the members. You cannot just go and count in one committee.
Yes.
Just create a portfolio committee. Yeah.
I don't need your hand. I saw his hand from
Thank you, Chair. Do you know in the fourth parliament we had exactly the same situation, and it didn't start at the end of our term last term. It started already from the start. We addressed it, but the department have not taken cognizance of it since the start, right to the end. So, you know, the only thing that we did, and I was on at that stage on the Committee of Further Education, where Minister Mzimandi did not come to our meeting because he had more important other meetings, I don't want to say which organization meetings, but we as a committee then decided at the end of the day, he brought something like 18 officials that came there to this meeting without asking for apology, and our chairperson then Ms. Khosmani and us made the decision that all those officials must pack their bags and go back. And say to the minister that if they don't take the select committee serious, they don't have to ever come to this committee again. And funny enough, the next meeting, Minister Nzimande was there with his deputy, with everyone. And it was the only one in 5 years that he attended, but he was there. So I just want to say, not that I'm saying we must go on strike with ministers and the departments, but what I do say is, it usually happens that the portfolio committees never talk. The departments will always be there, the ministers will always be there, and deputy ministers. When it gets to select committees, because it's of the NCOP, there's a tendency of ministers to send their deputy ministers, or the tendency of just sending HODs and officials, and not representing as politicians in these committees. And I believe before we take on, or really kick off with this for Parliament, we must have a clear letter to our departments and our ministries to say to them that this select committee is a House of Parliament, of one of the committees of Parliament, and that exactly the same like these letters that you are getting like on 99, we would like to have letters on time as well as have representation of ministers and deputy ministers at meetings. We cannot be taken lightly as the second House of Parliament because we are the upper House of Parliament, and we are seen as the second house, and we are also seen as the second class committee to these departments, which is unacceptable. Now, we can all say every time, oh, these people are not here and they're not there, and it will go on for another 5 years. Or we can make the decision and we can say, this is where we stop it right now, and we take action. And I promise you, Chair, it will not happen again. Because you make one example, and then you from there work on. So it's just a suggestion from me. I'm not calling on strike action from my fellow colleagues here, but we're not saying that we won't go out of this house or whatever, but what we are saying is we will definitely have to take action against the departments and say to them, this is where we stand with them, respect us, we respect you, get to our meetings.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just getting worried. My colleagues are going to start hitting the table. We don't want to go there. Chair, I don't know if this is whether it could work, but there's not many occasions when there's a clash of the nature. Perhaps they could send a parts delegation so that the expectations at least are fulfilled. I'm just wondering how that, okay, that could work.
Look, what we would do, we would request the permanent secretary to write a formal letter, right, to raise the concern. And they could have handled this matter much better than that, but they've done now. And look, secondly, this is the fifth parliament. I would say that everyone to use the previous experience, otherwise, over his weeping our emotions, to wear his jacket of the past experience. I want us to build that, to observe. You know, but we caution them that if you are a bit disappointed, you should have handled this matter differently in academic dignity. One way of it, we could have divided the affairs. You know, there's a minister that did. So in that fashion, and also appreciate the place of meetings. So ladies and gentlemen, I think the meeting is not adjourned.
We will have three items on the program. Maybe we can shift the third item to another meeting. I don't know.
You see, and I just assist you. We have three items, that's true. The first two were dealt with them. The third one was about that report that you agreed upon. This one that I read out. So that was the second item. Now, the only item that was left is transport to make a presentation. And my fear is they start now, they will go into time. And they want to seek out one by one. And I would like my meeting to dwindle or evaporate in that way to say, and I'm left there only with the department. So that's why I wanted your guidance on the matter. Can we release those that are very in a rush? But where is the department so that we convey to them what we have agreed upon? Members are exclusive those that are in the department here.
Thank you, Chief.
Oh, morning, sir. Afternoon. Are you all by yourself?
Yes, actually, this completion
that comes, and I can't
arrive,
so
I was
just trying to
make sure.
No, thank you very much. You are the PLO?
I'm not in the PLO.
But what are you in the department?
I'm the direct transport for the
management.
now you see Mr. Fan. I was going to suggest to convey to you saying, firstly, let us appreciate your concerns of not being able to attend this meeting. The meeting was scheduled for 11 o'clock. We did accommodate you to 10 to 12 o'clock, so that you made your presentation for 20 minutes. I don't know how long your presentation would have been. So that by 12:30, members are rushing to the house to prepare for the house this afternoon. Now, it seems to me you are unable to improvise yourselves, and you put us in a very awkward position. We don't take kind of your absence in the select committee meeting. When you knew well in advance that today you have this select committee, and also when you look at your diaries, surely you must have come across that there are two meetings in one. You should have divided yourselves, because you've got the minister and the deputy. You've got the director general and the deputy. You've got all these people that you should have divided yourselves between us and NA. Now, even yourself to come and sit and wait for the presenter, it is out of order. So we can't sit with you, especially when we don't even have a letter to confer on you in terms of the powers to represent the department. So we can't sit with you, and it's really does not sit well with the members. We are not the members. We want us to convey it to the department. We will convey it, in fact, myself tomorrow, where I meet your minister in Moloto. There is an unveiling of the Moloto thing tomorrow on Thursday. I will convey it all personally to the minister, our disappointment. Maybe she's not aware that you trust us in this session. But there are members coming to work, not to work because of your absence. The press doesn't come here. You should have divided yourselves. Our members are leaving. We will write to your office foreman through our secretary, our displeasure. So we very few of us can be ashamed this issue until further notice. Thank you very much. Yeah, no, I just wanted to convey that. Thank you very much.